Okay, we're holding the Megillah where Ahasuerus basically turned around and saw that huge post, and he understood that Haman had said this post would really be good to hang the king on. And so the king says, hang him on it. And
hang the king on?
Hang Haman, right. And so Haman was hung on the tree that he had thought he was preparing for Mordechai. Really, he was preparing for himself. And the king's anger settled. Now, the Zohar writes that every time we have HaMelech, it's really an allusion to Hashem. So throughout the Megillah, the Mefarshim explain how it is an allusion to Hashem. And we're also careful, we're Mehader when we can, that the Megillahs we write, at the top of each column, the word is HaMelech. It's called the HaMelech Megillah. A Megillah that's written, I lent my Megillah, I'd show you, where the top of each column in Megillah begins with the word HaMelech.
Do you have a HaMelech column?
Other than the first one, of course, right? Like, he can't begin with HaMelech.
Well, we could just skip. Can you have a HaMelech Megillah?
I have one, but I don't have it here. I lent it to someone, so I don't have it now. Okay.
Cheers, lent the Megillah.
Now, Bayomahu, on that day, the king gave Esther the house of Haman. And until this point, every time we refer to time, we refer to it as yamim, days. The only time we start referring to a single day is here, because when times are tough, so then every minute seems like an eternity. So it's yamim, it's days, it's periods. When a person has good days, so then each day, he could have a whole year pass by just like that, because it's a good time. We find by Yaakov Avinu, he's working 7 years for Rachel, it was like single days. Because single days is a reference to times of happiness. And at this point, the Megillah is turning from sadness to happiness, so suddenly we talk about specific days. We're talking about Bayom Hahu. Ahasuerus gave Esther the house of Haman. He gives Esther the wealth of Haman. Now, the Medrash tells us, there's a famous pasuk in Kohelet, it says, Ki le'adam shetov lefanav, to a person who is good before Hashem, what does Hashem grant him? Hashem gives him natan chokma vedat v'simcha. He gives him wisdom, understanding, and happiness. V'lachote, what does God do to the sinner? Natan inyan, he makes it that his focus is le'esof v'lichnos, to gather. He wants to have more and more and more and more. And he spends his life gathering, and ultimately, what's Hashem's plan? Latet, to give that wealth, letov lifnei Elokim, to the person who's good before him. Chazal say that's a reference to Mordechai and Haman. Mordechai was granted with chokhmah, dat, and simcha. Chokhmah, we know that's a reference to Mordechai. He's considered Mordechai, is a reference to the first of the oils in the Ktores, the first of the psalmim in the Ktores, and we know that. Okay, whatever. That's chokhmah. Dat, vayvada davar leMordechai. Mordechai has das, and that's his ruach hakodesh. And simcha, veyoshushan, tzalav samecha. Lachote, who's the sinner? That's Haman. He gathered all the wealth, ultimately to give it over to Mordechai. That's what happens at the end of the Megillah.
It says here that Esther put him in charge. He actually gets the whole thing later?
We'll get there. It says, okay, the king takes the ring and he gives it to Mordechai, and Esther places Mordechai in charge of Haman's house. So Mordechai gets the two types of greatness that Haman had. Be it the greatness of wealth, he gets charge of Haman's home, which means he gets charge of Haman's assets. He's basically getting Haman's wealth. And the king also makes him second in command. He is now Mishne Lamelech, second in command after the king. And the king gives him the ring, and now he's the one that's running the show. But the decree has not yet been annulled. And so Esther has to endanger her life a second time and come before the king and fall before his feet and cry and beg that he should repeal his decree. Now we learned two weeks ago, in our Daniel classes that the law in Paras and Madai, the Persian Mede law, was that you could never undo a law. A king could never rescind the law. So they had to find a way of getting around the law. But once a law was written, the king himself couldn't go against the law. That was Persian Mede law.
Didn't they overturn a law at the beginning of the Megillah?
They changed the law, right?
Okay.
So how did they change that law? I don't know how they did it. I don't know. I guess the concept was that however the law was written, they didn't go head on against it. I mean, Darius decreed that whoever asks anyone else a request must be thrown into the lion's den. And Daniel lives through the night in the lion's den, so he can take him out. He doesn't have to kill him. So no one had a claim. Well, the idea of the law was that you kill him. If you fulfilled the wording of the law, that's fine. You've been within the letter of the law. So maybe over there also, we don't know the wording of the law, but I don't know how they did that technically. It's a good point. So Esther pleads before Ahasuerus to repeal the law, and she's weeping, she's begging, and basically Ahasuerus cannot do what she wants specifically. He cannot repeal the decree directly, but we discussed that the way the decree was written was that they wrote in a closed sense. They didn't write clearly what they wanted. They said, on this day, everyone has to be ready. And what's going to be on that day? Haman didn't disclose. Just said, everyone be ready for that day. He was scared. If the Jews know about it, they'll come and appeal to the king. So Haman sent out word, everyone has to be prepared for the 13th. And to the officers, to the leaders, the governors, to them he sent word, this is the plan. On that day, we're preparing a mass pogrom.
So how did Shushan know about it?
Because Mordechai knew, because we said the Jews had friends in high places who let them know. The Jews found out from their buddies who were governors.
When we say Ha'il Shushan Navocha, that's just the Jews?
No, we said Ha'il Shushan Navocha means they were in wonderment. They were bewildered. They couldn't understand what the king wanted of them. Navoch is they were bewildered.
So why only Shushan?
Because the decree hit Shushan first. That afternoon, Haman and Achshver sat down to drink wine, the decree was read out loud in Shushan. Everyone get ready for the 13th. They didn't say what they were planning on doing on the 13th. So the city of Shushan was bewildered. What does the king want of us?
That means all the cities were bewildered whenever
Correct.
The king got to them?
Right. Now, the cities were bewildered. The Jews got inside information, and they knew what was happening. So the Jews, they mourned. But the city of Shushan, the non-Jews in the cities, just couldn't figure out what the king wanted out of them. So the king calls in Mordechai. He
so
sees.
The Jews did know?
The Jews did. The so masses didn't.
But they didn't protest.
You see, they did. They did it through Esther. Three days after the decree, Haman's hanging off a tree. That's pretty fast politics. He makes the decree, 3 days later, he's hung. The decree is still around for 70 days. But, So they got it a different way, but if you want to look at it from Haman's point of view or Haman's family or from a Gentile point of view, they worked their politics very fast. 3 days after his decree, he's dead. So Ahasuerus sees that Esther's weeping. Esther's upset. He doesn't think he could sway her. So he calls Mordechai in and he tells him, look, Mordechai, you got to explain it to her. We can't undo this decree. We just can't go back on the decree. We're going to have to do something else here. So you guys figure something out. Figure a way of repealing the decree without repealing
it.
The
decree, it said the Jews?
Oh. So the mass decree did not say the Jews.
Yes.
So that's what they did.
So what
did it say? It said, be prepared to gather on this day. But to the governors it said, be prepared to kill the Jews on this day. So what could they write? So they wrote, they had to wait for all the messengers to come back, and that's why we said it was an ace that Hashem made the messengers go so quickly, because if they would send new messengers, the governors, those that hated the Jews, would say, well, how do I know who's first and who's second? Who's got the right version? So they waited till all these runners came back, and then they sent them, now you guys go back the same route you went, and tell them you left a few words out of the decree. Meaning, it said, Liyot atidim layom hazeh, be prepared for that day. And if you'll notice, what was Mordechai and Esther's version? Liyot hayudim atidim layom hazeh. The Jews have to prepare themselves for that day. So they just added a word. They said Haman, in his hatred for the Jews, he left the word out of the king's decree. Really, the king said, the Jews have to be prepared. They're going to prepare to take revenge from their enemies. Meaning, really, Mordechai and Esther didn't have an interest in making a day that the Jews have a heyday killing their enemies. But they had no choice. The decree was already set up that someone was going to have a heyday. So the question was, are the Jews going to be killed or not? So the only way they could see out of it was by writing, Haman left out a word. Instead of the masses should be prepared, it should have said, Liyot HaYehudim Atidim. The Jews have to be prepared for this day, and on this day, they're going to take revenge from their enemies. The messengers, the same messengers who delivered the first decree, they delivered the second decree. 70 days had passed between the first decree, when the Jews were all in mourning, and the repealing of the first decree, the second decree. And those 70 days correspond to the 70 years we were in Galut. And this now is the end of the Galut. This the Nes of Purim and the fact that we take revenge from our enemies is the beginning of our ascent to Eretz Yisrael and the rebuilding of the temple. Meaning the conclusion of the Megillah. Esther doesn't write it overtly. But the conclusion of the Megillah is really the lead-in to the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash. The 70 days are a correspondence to the 70 years, and what we didn't do in 70 years, we did in 70 days. And according to one opinion, Esther was okay with letting the Jews boil a little in their juice, because she said they have to do tshuva. So many prophets have been telling them they have to repent, and they didn't listen. Let them think their lives are in danger, and let them do tshuva. And they did. They did. She was successful. Chazal tell us that what 48 prophets couldn't do, Esther, the one removal of the ring did. It meant the Jews did repent. Yeah.
Okay, but you're saying is that the other decree came out, but then why did it say the Jews should defend themselves? Their enemies knew to beat them somehow.
The wording, what does it say?
Because somehow the original decree had got to the people if they knew they had to defend, the Jews had to defend themselves.
You're saying the word lihinatzel doesn't seem to fit with this pshat so well. You're saying it says lihinatzel, it should have said litkof et oivehim. You're right. It's a good point. I don't know. Meaning, we could say the word "leinatzel" depends on if it's from "vayinatzlu et Mitzrayim" or "leinatzel meetzara." That's my own hypothesis. I don't know if that's true.
What's
the pasuk say? It says "vayinatzlu et Mitzrayim." They took advantage of the Egyptians. They cleaned them out. So "leinatzel meoyvehem" could also mean to clean out their enemies. It doesn't necessarily have to mean to be saved.
But it says
so they send out the word, and the Jews have sason and simcha. Those are two different types of happiness. One's burst out, and one's more serene internal happiness. And the nations, everyone knows how Mordechai is top in power, so everyone was scared of him, and therefore they moved people forward, meaning they always honored the Jews to move them forward within the kingdom. Now, they also knew that Mordechai was getting more and more power within the kingdom, so they were the fear just went stronger. And this is a concept that we find in Mishlei and in the Song of Dvorah. Tzadikim ke'or noga, holech va'or ad nechon hayom. The tzadikim just give more and more light as they go on in life. A person is supposed to be a source of light for the world, and it's not a fleeting moment. Some people have their hour. Yeah, that's important. Harvona had his hour. It was very important. But a tzaddik is someone who keeps shining. Harvona was the one who told Achashverosh, yeah, there's the tree you want to hang Mordechai on, and he's the one that got Haman nailed. There are people who have their hour, Jews and non-Jews. But a tzaddik is supposed to be someone who keeps shining, and his shine just gets stronger as time goes on.
But maybe you discussed it earlier. The switch from Achashverosh is never discussed here?
No. The Megillah ends with Achashverosh being king. We're out of time, so I want to conclude with a very interesting Ralbag on the end of the Megillah. It says the Megillah concludes with the following. Ki Mordechai haYehudi mishne laMelech haChashverosh, veGadol haYehudim veRatzui leRov Echad. Mordechai was second in command by the king, and most of his brothers loved him. Doresh tov le'amo, he seeked out good for his nation. So you think, wow, such tremendous things. What's left to say? What does the Megillah conclude with? V'dover shalom lechol zaro. And he seeks out peace for his family. We see that after all the description, after all the greatness of Mordechai, we conclude with Doresh tov le'amo v'dover shalom lechol zaro. And he speaks peace for his offspring, for his family. And that's something to think about, that this is what we've built up to. So we should have a fair conform.
That was his task, because he still has to seek out peace for the future generations. That it wasn't okay, it was a nice for a poem, right? But from now on, the whole Daro, they still have to like establish more. It's not the nice, there's still going to be worship.
I hear. Okay, now we'll conclude with a few thoughts about Purim Day. We don't really have a source in the Megillah or in the Gemara that you're supposed to fast Tanis Esther. So that's a discussion in Chazal where we get this from, but it's been around since the time of the Gemara, a little bit after the Gemara, the fast of Tanis Esther. Meaning it's Allah and Shulchan Aruch, it's in Rambam, it's in the Rishonim. The question is, where did it start and why?
He doesn't include it. He doesn't include it in the fourth Taniyot Rambam.
Right, but it is.
I heard a very interesting thing today about it. The four fests that Rambam includes, where instead of Taniyot Esther, he says Tishabav, it's because it's litzok, you know, basically to